Appreciate the church's hospitality. We appreciate the room and the good food. It's been a great blessing to us. It always is an encouragement to be here. And I was talking to one of the other brethren, and you need to get out and travel if you don't, because sometimes you begin to think you're on the Isle of Patmos by yourself. There are a few others out there, and it's a great encouragement to know that you're not isolated, that the Lord... The Bible says that he would always have a remnant. And so they're out there, and it's a great encouragement when you have the opportunity to travel. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask that you turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Joshua chapter 7, in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disembled also. They've put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourself against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before the enemies until you have taken away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the family thereof, and the family which the Lord have taken shall come by the household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he have, because he have transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he have wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites band by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper tonight, my heart is aching. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your watch care. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, that you've placed in this place today. Lord, that it remains a testimony for your goodness years after years after year. And Lord, we pray that you'd continue to give them a zeal for godliness. Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that you'd simply hide me behind your word. Lord, that you would manifest yourself to this people tonight. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to see what sin can do to the life of a believer. And we pray that we would deal with it according to your mercy and grace. And we pray these things in the sweet and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, fairly familiar verses of Scripture, but sometimes I think we miss the mark on what happened with Achan and with his family and with the nation of Israel. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that they had come up against that little city of Ai. They had brought down the walls of Jericho just by marching around it and trusting God. And then they went in and they destroyed every person in Jericho, everybody that lived. Now, again, limited by the mind, I've often thought, you know, why did everybody have to die? You know, all I really need to know is God said so. Why did the children of the heathen die? Because God said so. Why did the women have to die along with the men? Just simply because God said so. You know what? I don't need a carnal understanding of the decrees of God. I really don't. And so we see that they did that and was very faithful to it at Jericho. And they get up at little Ai and they don't even send everybody up. Now, you can tell that Jerusalem and the nation of Israel were forerunners of Baptists, because anybody that could get out of something, that's what they wanted to do. And, you know, they said, it's just a little one, take a few and get the job done. Well, first of all, they made an error, because I don't care how small Ai was, they all needed to be there. And I don't care how insignificant you see Wednesday night services, but you need to be there. You need to be there. That's just as important as little Ai. So they come against them and they're destroyed miserably. The Bible says, we just read it, that they turned their backs to them and ran. You know what we're doing as a people today? We're setting our backs and we're running. You don't have anybody anymore that wants to stand up for anything. Me and another brother was talking about this earlier. We are so beaten down by the world, it is our impulse to give in. It is the push to give in. But you know what? Brethren, we can't do that. We can't say that it's okay when we... You know what? Sodomy is still a sin. Our government can say anything they want to about it, but you know what? It's still a sin, and sin still has to be dealt with like it's always been dealt with. Amen. We don't need to give up on those things, but listen, we live in a day and age where if you preach much of that, you're the bigot. They're not gonna pat you on the back and say, man, that was great tonight. It's a different day that we live. And so we see the problem that they had was that there was sin in the camp. Now I want you to see in verse 10, it begins out with the man of God on his face before God. Now, Brother Cummings was preaching this morning along positions of prayer. And this was a very... What this really was a grief-type position. He really didn't understand why what God had withdrew himself. And you know what? We don't always understand either, but there is a reason. You know what? When you don't feel the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be sensed. It's not a Pentecostal teaching. That's true. And you know, when the Holy Spirit cannot be sent, something is wrong. But we keep coming back to church and we don't deal with sin, and it gets colder and it's just like infection running through the whole bunch. And before we know it, all we're doing is going through a pitiful routine and calling it church. And calling it church. And so we see in one sense, you would think that Joshua had the right idea, but he says, what are you doing? Get up. Deal with the problem. You know what we need to do as pastors? Get up and deal with the problem. But why don't we? Why don't we? Well, you know, it might make Aunt Mary mad. Well, you know what? If Aunt Mary gets mad, let her leave. Deal with sin. Deal with the problem. And I've never seen where God wasn't faithful to bless that. So he says, you get up, and he tells them the problem. Israel have sinned. That was the problem. That's why there was no victory down at Ai, is because there was sin in the camp. And you know why we don't live in victory today? If individually you're defeated this evening, it's because there's sin in your camp. If this church is not living victorious, brother, there's sin in the camp. If there's problems at New Testament, way down in Dover, Tennessee, you know who's responsible to take care of the problem? Me. Now, certainly the individual should say, listen, Brother Larry, I'm in a mess, and I need a church to pray for me. But man, you don't see much of that anymore, do you? But if that's not going to happen, then I, as the under-shepherd, I have to say, you know what? There is a problem, and it needs to be dealt with. And don't let me bellyache and say, well, you know, the Lord just don't meet with us no more if I haven't dealt with the problem. Amen. And don't tell me how dry and undone you are if you're not willing to deal with the problem either. Amen. But we like to blame our preachers. Well, you know, he ain't preaching nothing. Well, a lot of times it's because the Holy Ghost doesn't come in and deal because there's sin in the camp. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand. I want you to see that it did affect how effective they were in battle, and it does us the same way. Then he says, I want you to destroy the cursed thing among you. Get rid of the problem. Amen. You know what? If it's a problem to you, you need to get rid of it. If my TV is occupying too much of my time and interfering with my prayer life, I need to get rid of it. Now that can be, and every one of us have it, don't say, you know, this thing does more than my first computer does. I can pull up something right now, and if I wanted to, watch something right here while I'm preaching. You know what that is? That's a hindrance. And if I can't control it any better than that, I better leave it at the house. And so we see then, we live in a very similar day, and we look about us and we see all these problems, and what it really gets back to, there's something in the camp that's not right. Verse 13, everybody don't like this verse, up sanctify the people. Deal with the problem, Joshua. You know what that word sanctify, everybody always says, and it does to some means set apart. You know, you always hear that. But the part that the Baptists don't like, it also means cleaned up. Set apart and get the camp clean. Deal with the problem. Sanctify the people. Get them ready for what's ahead. Do it now. Now, the thing of it is, Joshua and good sovereign grace people don't like choices. But you know what? Joshua had a choice. He could do it or not. Now, I'll say this. He would have come. You remember whenever... They were writing to Esther. Her uncle said, you know, if you do this, good. But if not, the Lord will raise up another way. And God is sovereign. And he would have done this, but Joshua would have had the choice. He could listen to God or he could ignore it. And you know what? We can ignore it too. And I think our pastors have ignored and ignored and ignored. And our churches are anemic and they're dying and there's no spirit. And the reason why, nothing's been dealt with in years. Amen. Nothing's been dealt with in years. Amen. And so we see then as the Lord's people that certainly we should be the ones to step up to the mark. So the Lord tells him to sanctify, to get ready. I also want you to see in verse 13 that the Lord identifies these persons or person as an enemy. Remember when the Lord Jesus was teaching us the parable of the sower. What did he say about the one that came in and put the tares in? He said, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. You know what? There may be enemies all about us. We think of enemies outside. Listen, the devil is way, way too smart for that. Listen, you know what? I don't get discouraged about numbers anymore. Because if our holy Lord Jesus Christ preached 3.5 years and ended up with 12, and one of them was a devil, everything's okay, right? So I want you to see that in Joshua's time that the problem had to be dealt with. And if it wasn't dealt with, they would not go on in victory. So he told them what to do. Then he brings them tribe by tribe. Now, what it was is each of them had a tribe head. And, you know, all 4.5 million didn't come up there through them. But the tribe head of each one was walking by. And the Lord God spoke to him and said, that's it. It's in that tribe. You know what? Your sin is not nearly as hid as you think it is.
Amen.
You're not nearly as coy. You're not trying nothing new that the human race hasn't tried for 6,000 years. You know, that's always our first response for sin. What did Adam and Eve do? The Bible says they hid themselves, right? Because the result of sin was in their life. Listen, you can't hide it. It has to be dealt with. We as a corporate church has to deal with it, and we as individuals have to deal with it. And if we don't, we're going to live listless life that really means nothing to Christ. And I've seen people do this, and apparently very happy to live in that condition, but it ought not be so among us. So he brought them down tribe by tribe, and it finally gets down to one little fella. And that was Achan. I always thought it was interesting that that was his name. Anybody ever had a toothache? It's got to be dealt with, don't it? Got to be dealt with. Pain will cripple you. And you know what? Pain isn't... This is what 25 years of nursing has taught me. Pain always has a cause. Pain is an experience. It's a feeling. There's no diagnosis pain. But it's caused by broken bones. It's caused by heart attacks. It's caused by being in an automobile accident. Pain always has a cause. And aching was the cause. Now, the problem in the modern day is we don't want to deal with, you know, if we do that, so-and-so will get mad. And if so-and-so gets mad, then Bella's going to get mad. And if Bella gets mad, then Francis is going to get mad. You know what? Let it be with God's hands and deal with the problem. That's what has to happen. And you know what? And if the church splits wide open, let her split. Listen, I've survived a church split. And you know what? What I found is God's people is the ones that headed out. So let it happen. Amen. You know, let it happen. What I found with big mega churches, first of all, the biggest church I read about in the Bible was 3,000 members. And the reason they were so big is they wouldn't get up and do God's work. He had told them to go. And the Bible says that he smited them. And you know why they were smitten? It's because they wouldn't do the gospel work. Amen. And then the Bible says they went all over the world. Sometimes we need a good licking, don't we? And so we see then that it was like this in Achan's day, and it got down that he was the trouble bearer, he was the problem. And notice what it says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel." You know what happens when you confess sin? It gives great glory and honor to the mighty God of all heaven. You know what? When I was a little fellow down here, and it wasn't even good sound churches like I know about today, that they did what they knew to do. They didn't understand everything about the Bible. But you know what? Back in those little churches, back in the hills of Stewart County, people confessed sin. They did. And you know why? And I've often wondered that. You know why? Because they knew that it hindered their walk with Christ. They knew that. You know, it wasn't going to the Catholic confessional and getting in that little booth and saying, you know, I've done this and I've done that. No, they knew it was hindering their life. Amen. And they wanted it to be dealt with. Amen. We don't live in a day like that anymore. Number one, I don't think we got good parameters down on exactly what sin is. And we've been coddled so much that when somebody tells us what sin is, we get mad. And so sin is never dealt with. Sin is never addressed in the modern day. So I want you to see, he says, now listen, Achan was on his way out. And you know what? I think Achan knew it. But what did he do? He said, thus and thus have I done. See, he was still willing to give God the great glory, wasn't he? If you was fixing to die, would you be willing to do that? Now notice what he says. "And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment." Now I'm not going to stay here very long, but I want to get into the Babylonish garment just for a minute. Brother Cummings, you might be like me. I don't remember a lot about yesterday. But about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night, I came to your church for a meeting. What did I have on? I was a nurse that day. And I had on my scrubs. The only thing I did, I took my stethoscope out and threw it on the truck seat before I got out. And you know what? I looked like a nurse. Looks different than what I have on today. You know what? Clothing is specific. Brother Andrew Trescott, I saw him in his cop uniform. I don't know if this is the right thing. His uniform for policeman, whatever they call him. You know what? He wasn't that little kid running around with my boy anymore the day I saw him. He was a policeman. You know, and it was indicated by what he had on. And whether you, and you know what? I don't know what a Babylonian garment looked like, but I know it wasn't like a Jewish garment. Because it was easy to identify. You know what? I bet it was just as worldly. I bet it was lustful. I bet it was exposing. And he wanted it. And listen, you may disagree with me in the sense that you could be in that day because the atonement had not been offered. I believe Achan was a saved man. And he lusted the things of this world. And you do too. And if you tell me you're not, you're lying.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he wanted it. And we want garments that we shouldn't be wearing either.
That is
a situation. So when you go to the clothing store the next time, you pick out something that says, listen, I belong to Jesus. He's mine and I'm His, and I'm going to dress just like the Bible has taught me to dress. And if you don't know what that is, go to your pastor and let him tell you, and then go do your clothes shopping. Listen, it does make a difference. There was a Babylonian garment and there was a Hebrew garment. They were two different things. And you know what? There's a man's garment and there's a woman's garment, and they are two different things. A lot of people don't like that anymore, but the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. Now, I think it's very interesting that Achan saw the progression of sin, don't you? Because he said, I saw them, and then I coveted them, and then I took them. See, that's how sin goes. You know what? Just when I get back to my phone, I said a while ago, if TV's an issue for you, get rid of it. Amen. Some people can handle it and some people can't. Just get rid of it. See, any along that cascade of sin, Achan could have stopped it, but he didn't. Clothes means a whole lot. I remember, and it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. I saw something new come up, something that my girls in my class thought was new. Is ripped up blue jeans. And they came in, and they had to wear a uniform at school most of the time, but we were doing something for some health screenings for homeless people where I teach school. And so I said, y'all can dress in streets that day. Lord, I shouldn't have said that. And so she comes in, and it looks like her pants had been in a shredder. And she goes, oh, Mr. Lafferty, aren't these cool? And I said, we were doing that in the 80s. This is not new. And I remember when I went to date my wife for the first time, and I had a very similar pair of jeans as this young lady had, and it was all, I was beyond cool. There you go. And you know why I did it? Because it identified me and I didn't even know it. I remember later my father-in-law, now, it's more than 30 years from our first date, he said, I told Diane when you left, that boy's so skinny, and he don't even have good clothes to wear. And I thought I had really arrived. So my clothes was saying something, were they not? But what I was saying and what people were receiving were two different things, right? So he wanted that garment, and Achan took the garment, and he took a whole lot of money, and he hoarded it all up. Now, everybody says, well, Achan just didn't have enough money. Well, the problem is, that's not true. Verse 24. And Joshua and all of Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. See, Achan didn't need it. Achan had a large family. Achan had some cows, and some horses, and some donkeys. See, Achan was making it fine. But he wanted something that wasn't his. And you know what? I look back across this group of people tonight, and there's not a one of us that's hungry. There's not a one of us that don't have on clean, decent clothes. And then we choose to grumble. Oh, I want this. You know what? Somebody said, well, I need a new car. No, you want a new car. If it's getting you from point A to point B and back to point A, you don't need a new car. You want a new car. And if you want a new car, that's fine. But don't tell me that you need it. See, we need to learn to evaluate things on those lines, do we not? And so we see that it wasn't that Achan was in drastic poverty. It's just he wanted something that the world had to offer, and he wasn't going to do without it. Now, that's the modern-day Christian, is it not? And we find that Achan did make it right with the Lord. But let's read the rest of that at the end. Verse 25. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? See, it was affecting everybody, wasn't it? Why have you troubled us? It's not just you tonight. You think you have it hid, and you think everything's going good, but you may be troubling Home Baptist Church. You may be troubling the church where you're a member at now. It may not be here. We have a huge amount of visitors tonight. But I do want you to see whatever group you're connected with, it goes beyond you. Me and one of the brothers was talking. Listen, we live in a day today that it's all about me. I teach nursing now, and I see adult people acting like four-year-olds that just got their bottom swatted when I was a boy, if I had done the same thing. And you know why? They're horribly spoiled, and they think it's all about them. You know why Achan took that? He thought it was all about him. You know what? This church is not about you. This church is about Christ and lifting Him up and giving Him the glory due His sweet, blessed name. It's not about you. So if that's why you're here, you know what? Best thing you could do is leave. I hope they all don't leave on me, brother. So we see that Achan deals with the problem. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones and raised over him a great heap. Now that's how sin was dealt with in that day. Isn't it a blessed, wonderful thing that we live in the realm of grace? You know what? And don't get down on Achan. There's a little bit of Achan in every one of us. And if God still dealt with sin like this, y'all would have never even met me, because I'd have had a heap of stones over me somewhere in Stewart County before any of you ever knew I existed. And you know why? I'm made out of the same stuff Achan is made out of.
Amen.
You talk about grace. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, we'd appreciate grace if we began reading how they dealt with sin then. Would we not? Won't get into details, but knew of a church. And boy, there got caught up in sodomy. Church didn't even want to discipline him. God help us.
Amen.
Should the kid be prayed for? I guess. But you know what? I don't want to be attached to that mess. Bible says we're fitly joined together, does it not?
Amen.
That's what a church is about. I don't want to be joined up with that mess.
Amen.
I don't want to be joined up with a bunch of alcoholics. I don't want to be joined up with people that their main thrust is to make another dollar. I don't want to be joined up with it. But isn't it a wonderful, blessed thing that we don't have to be stoned? Isn't it a wonderful, glorious mercy that if you have, you know what? The Bible says, Larry, if you see me messing up, you can go to me and say, Larry, I saw this. And I want to warn you. That's the way it ought to be done. Is that right? Bible. Everybody thinks it's an argument when the Bible says if you have aught against your brother. It's not about an argument. It's about sin. And if I see you struggling with sin, it's my duty, not as a pastor, but just as your brother in Christ, to say, Brother Sean, I'm worried. I've seen this and I'm concerned. And you know what? Do it with a heart of compassion. You know, we sure get on the internet and start texting people about what's going on.
Yeah. Facebook
them. But going down before them and say, listen, I'm concerned about you. Let's just get down right here now and pray about it. No, you don't see that. But you know what? I'm 40, soon be 49. And I saw a time when people would. They'd pray for one another. That's it. And so we see then that sin was dealt with in a whole different way in the days of the Jews. And what a blessed thing that now we live under grace and it no longer has to be dealt with in this way. So let's bring it down to the New Testament in the book of Romans. The church at Rome. I personally believe Rome was the church that defected and became the great whore. That's my own ideas because I think Paul saw it in chapter 1. He gives them some very Romanish warnings. But at any rate, as Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he was giving them some very, very good advice. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. The Bible says, and a lot of people... want to pull this out, and we've about trashed it because of the Romans Road. Listen, that Romans Road is a piece of junk. But every word of God is inspired and good. So just because somebody wrote a bad track about it, don't mean you can't use it. Right? So when we look at this and it's inspired and we know truly that it is, remember Paul's writing to the redeemed. He's writing to the saved. He's writing to the church there at Rome. And as he's writing, he says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what? You can't refute that. That is what it is. It says what it means and means what it says. But let me say this. He'll let you know you're His. Listen, it's not just, I know that you're God. And No. Because you know what? He manifests Himself to you. You know, if you've run down that Romans road and the Lord God of heaven's never manifested Himself to you, you make your calling and election sure. Because you may not just have what you think you do.
Amen.
And so we see then that there's nothing at all wrong with that verse. He's addressing the redeemed. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth, not logic, but 18 inches off, with the heart, the soul, the inner man. That's why the Romans Road's not true. All it's due is based on logic. You know, history will tell you itself that there was a man named Jesus, but that don't make you redeemed. History itself says there was that he was nailed to a cross and that he died. But that don't make you saved. So with the heart. And maybe it'd be a good thing tonight to see if you believe here or if you believe here. Because there is a huge difference. And so we see then that Paul reminds them of this, encourages them of this. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is what I have found with young believers. They're more faithful to that than we are. And when I say young believers, I mean newly saved people. They could be 95 and still be a new believer. But you know what? They so love the person of Christ, they're not embarrassed. And they're so glorious and rejoicing in the fact that they've been saved that they'll very easily, like an humble little child. That's why he says, come unto me. Come unto me as little children. Come unto me, ye little children. Because we don't have that inward pride. They really don't. New believers love the things of God. So we find from this that we should be confessing sin. Now, you think about your home church. I'll think about New Testament at Dover. And how long has it been since someone confessed sin? I mean, really. You know, I lived in a day and age where people would stand up and say, listen, I've let the church down. And something that we would see as simple as I've not been praying like I ought to. But they meant business with God. They meant it. And you know what? This is the reality. It was a problem. It was hindering the church. It was being a difficulty. Where did we ever get to the idea that we're going to start putting a gradient on sin? Sodomy and unbelief, it's the same thing in the eyes of Almighty God. And so we see then that we as the Lord's people need to get really comfortable with confessing our faults. To say, I'm not being the man that I ought to be. I'm not being the pastor that I ought to be. That's, you know, even with Achan's death, he gave God great. He said, give glory to God. Let's hear what you've done. And he did give glory to God. It did. And then we wonder why our churches are so anemic and dry and down and out. Well, I can tell you why. The churches are full of sin. And they'll remain full of sin until people say, listen, this is what's happened. Would you pray for me? And why don't we? I can tell you in a 5-letter word. Pride.
Amen.
That's why we don't. We don't do it because, well, you know, I don't want Brother Dan to think that about me. Well, you know what? We need to get to the point we don't care what Brother Larry and what Brother Dan and what Brother Sean thinks, that what our relationship of Christ is all in all. Because what you're really impacting, it don't impact Brother Dan, it impacts your relationship with Christ. And if we don't have a productive relationship with Christ, we really have nothing at all. So we need to learn to confess our faults and not be embarrassed, because what I have found, they do the exact same things. And maybe you could be a help and a benefit for someone struggling with the exact same sin as you are, and they can say, listen, this is what has helped me.
Amen.
We don't need to be that embarrassed by it. But look with me in the little book of James. Nobody likes the little epistle of James. And the reason why is it demands works from the believer. Some people call it the Campbellite book. I don't. I just call it the book the Baptists don't like. Right? And because it does demand works. And it says more or less, if you don't have good works, you're lost. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord. And that's the reason it hurts when we read it. But notice what James says as he's finishing out his letter. James 5 in verse 16. James 5 in verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Can't be no more plain than that, can it? Confess your faults one to another. Now, everybody knows the difference between everybody knows what the Corinthian letters were, right? They were a letter to address issues at Corinth, right? The general epistles applied to everybody. And you know what? James was a general epistle. So it wasn't just one church. He was demanding that we all, as churches here, there, and yonder, confess our faults one to another. You know what? We need to be saying, I haven't done like I need to do. I haven't been the daddy that I ought to be. I haven't put things first in my home. The home Bible study is slipping a little bit. Will you pray for me in that? That's what we need to do. Confess our faults one to another. And your next phrase says, and pray ye one for another. So that means if I say, listen, I haven't treated my wife the way that Christ treated the church, because, gentlemen, that's what we're to do. And I say that, and I say, y'all pray for me and pray for Donna. And you can't wait to get out there and you know, Brother Lafferty said, sinned.
Amen.
Right? That's not keeping. That's me confessing, and then you're not doing your part, right? confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another, then what does the rest of it say? That you may be healed. Now, I certainly believe in divine healing. I've seen it. But you get back to what they're talking about and put that verse in text, and it's talking about a spiritualness. Because he says your faults, and then he says, pray ye, and God will take care of the problem. You know what? We need to be spiritually healed as New Testament churches. There's a reason. You know, I'm so sick. Well, we're living in the last days. It can't get no better. Why not? You know what? True Bible churches were never that big. But they had a fervor for Christ. And they had power when they prayed. That's what's gone. Numbers is not an issue. It really isn't. But how's the power of God where you meet? That would be my question. You know what? If for whatever reason I ever left New Testament church there at Dover, and you know where I would go? I would go where people were close unto the Lord. That's where I would go. And you say, well, how do you know that? Listen, when you walk in the door, you can know it. And so we see then that we as the Lord's people, we need to practice confessing our faults to one another. We need to practice praying for one another. And then we need to enjoy the benefits of the healing. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means if you're righteous, if you're redeemed, and you're right with God, your prayers can help me. But if you're in the same situation, and all you're going to do is berate me and make fun of me, your prayers mean nothing. That's what that means.
Right.
So maybe the reason we don't see confessing people anymore is we're not doing our part. And you can certainly tell the difference. You can know when it's not happening. We've all seen people look down their noses at us, right? And you know pretty much then if you're going to get a prayer or not, don't you? Last place in the book of 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 9. First John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know what everyone is already thinking. Well, that's between you and God, right? And I understand that. But you know what? How could I possibly expect you to pray for me if we don't pray in specifics? Anybody, I recently read when Elijah prayed for the Shunammite woman's child and how he laid on him. You think he was given a general prayer? No. He was praying for that boy with everything he had. Said that he laid on him and he started getting warm and he got up again and began to walk about the room and praying and asking for the intervention of God. He was praying. Well, you know, what was he going to say? Well, raise him up. There's no prayer in that. That boy had a problem. He was dead. He was dead, and he needed some help. You know what? We need to be willing to help one another. You come to me, don't worry about... Listen, I guarantee you come to me, I've probably done it too. And what I'll do, I'll simply pray with you. I'll simply pray with you. And that should be everybody's attitude. You know what? If every one of us would pray who had a spiritual need tonight, this whole area would be up here would be full. And there's nothing magical about here, but you know what? This is a position of obedience. You don't see it. You know what? The Catholics about took that away from us. But there's nothing wrong at all with God's people kneeling before the mighty God of all heaven.
Amen.
We need to deal with sin, and we need to confess our faults, and then we as the Lord's people need to be faithful to pray for those folks. We need to lose the pride. We're done.